Luis forgot to say that he proposed me to create the Risk Lab in Madrid. The first idea was in Toronto. Well, I must begin by I must thank Premier for inviting me, particularly Dan Rose and Luis Seco, and it's always a pleasure and an honor for a mathematician to speak in the Field Institute. So, but this is, the problem is not my computer, it is the projector, I think. Maybe. Yes? So while the projector is rebooting, well, I just want to say that there is a lot of information in my slides. They will be at your disposition in 2 days. I need somebody to check my English, which is not very good. So in 2 days you shall have at your disposition at the Premier website the talk in a PDF version. Well, as I said, there is a lot of information, but I shall focus on the most important ideas in order to speak no more than 45 minutes. Well, I have my watch in the screen. Of course, it's Madrid time, but 45 minutes are in Madrid exactly as in Toronto. So I want to speak about what is operational risk, how to measure it, a critical review of the use of Pareto distributions, and some observation remarks about frequency distributions fitting. No? Well, the starting point is that the business of banks have suffered a big change in the past years. No? The banks now are acting as large volume service providers. The deregulation, globalization, advances in technology have increased complexity of banking activity and thus their risk profile. So in some sense, the new technologies are creating new risk. Automated back office processing systems increase the risk of system failure. Automatic hedging strategies also. Outsourcing creates new risk exposures. So there is a big change in the work, in the business, in the bank that creates new risks. Well, I like very much this quote by Alan Greenspan about operational risk, because and it's not usual in Alan Greenspan, you have no operational risk for him to understand what he's saying. You know? It's very clear. Well, some example of operational risk. You know, if you want, the thick finger syndrome. Well, for example, the first one in May 2001, an employee at Lehman Brothers negotiates an engagement of 300 million instead of 3 million, which was his real goal. This error implied a fall of 150 points in the FTSE index, more or less 40 billion of pounds. if you want something similar, in December of the same year at the UBS Warburg, a trader made an error in the Japanese equity book, typing the price per unit instead of the number of units. Well, it's something that happens every day to all of us, but if you are typing the price instead of the number of units, it's a bigger error for the banks, and it may result in a loss. No? In this case, $50 million. Well, in reality, the automation of processes and the globalization of markets have converted these facts in usual. A trader may understand an order in an erroneous way, and he's going to sell instead of buying, for example, and if in addition the market moves the wrong way for the bank, his error will result in a loss. It's a very typical situation. Well, so typical that in May 2001, I don't know what happened with the Projector. Yes. Well, I just was saying that in May 2002 there were more than 7,000 events of operational risk with more than $1 million each of them registered in the world. Well, that's fine at this moment. Well, another kind of operational risk events are rock traders. Well, I don't want to explain each of them, but for example, the case of Nick Leeson at Barings Bank is well known. But there is a lot of examples, the Daiwa or Sumitomo, where there was an unauthorized activity for 11 years in the first case, 3 years in the second one, and losses of well, a big amount of $1 million. Well, the case of BCCI, which was really a fraudulent use of financial institution, and actually there is a claim against the Bank of England for £1 billion because of this case. And something more close, maybe you see in the newspapers, but the case of Citibank, well, they have an extrajudicial agreement for the WorldCom case and also for the Enron case. You see more than $2 billion each of them. No? So it's also operational risk. And there are another types of operational risk, natural disasters. Katrina, for example, is a case of operational risk for a bank. Damages to physical assets. Or also September 11. The case of Cantor Fitzgerald, for example. Well, in the 2002, 89 banks participated to the loss data collection exercise for operational risk organized by the Basel Committee. They reported 47,000 events. The threshold was at around 10,000 euros. And the global loss was of more than 7 billion, almost 8 billion euros. So that's what we are speaking about in this talk. The Basel Committee gave a definition of operational risk as the risk of loss resulting from inadequate or failed internal processes, people and systems from external events. This definition includes legal risk, but excludes strategic and reputational risk. Okay.
Every time you change page.
Every time you change page.
It's not there.
It's systemic risk, isn't it? Well, how to measure, I shall change in just now, how to measure operational risk. Well, the Basel Committee defines 8 business lines and 7 types of risk. Corporate finance, trading and sales, retail banking, etc. And 7 type of risk, internal fraud, external fraud, employment practices, workplace safety, and so on. So if you think about business lines and type of risk, you get an array, a matrix, if you want, and you have 56 cells in the matrix. No? And it's the Basel II array or matrix. And if you look at this matrix, we must calculate the capital for each of the cells. But if you think about it, it's the usual approach for insurance. You know? An insurance company has the type of insurance, for each class of insurance you have many kinds of risks which are covered by insurance. So it's not surprising that the mathematical tools for insurance company works well for operational risk. You know? In reality, what we need is to modelize severity and frequency in each of the cells of the matrix. They are supposed to be independent and produce the loss distribution for each of them. No? Well, as shown in... I didn't change the page. in reality, as shown by the loss collection data of 2002, the different cells have different contributions to the operational risk. For example, if you look here, well, retail banking, you have 64% of the number of events, but only 30% of the gross losses, or the percentage of gross losses. Or if you look at the damage to physical assets, it's only 1% of the events, but it's 44% of the gross losses. So you have a different contribution of the different cells and a different behavior in the different cells. So we must fit a distribution for severity and another for frequency for each of the cells, and then combine all the cells in order to compute the economic capital for the bank. A first step is simply we shall sum the contribution of each cell, which we shall calculate for each cell and take the sum of all the cells. And what are we going to calculate? Well, a percentile of the loss distribution for the cell. In reality, if you look at this, we have two kinds of events. We have low frequency, high impact event, and we have high frequency, low impact event. Well, of course, you can have high frequency, high impact event, but in this case, you are in trouble. You are in trouble, but fortunately for you, it will be for a short time, because your business is going very bad and probably will not exist for a long time. So in practice, we are interested in two kinds of event: high frequency, low impact, high impact, low frequency. Okay? Well, so we need to modelize the severity and the frequency for these events. No? Well, a severity is something which is positive only, so the first idea is log normal distributions, but in reality, if you look to the real data, log normal is not enough, and there is a family of distributions which are used for this. We have the log normal distribution, the generalized extreme value distribution, Pareto, generalized variable, gamma, and log normal gamma, which is an interesting distribution, you know, because you take a log normal distribution, but the variation of the log normal, of the log of the log normal, is theta times sigma 2, where theta is gamma distributed distribution. So you get by this way fat tail distributions, which are usually observed in this case. Well, the dirty world is more complicated. In reality, if you look at the definition of the business lines and type of risk, you can see that the data in the cells in most of them are not going to be homogeneous. So you can observe something like that, something like that, and you need a mixture of distributions in order to fit the severity. Because you have two kinds of events which are in the same cell. Well, for the frequency, we shall focus at this moment on a special class which has the following property. If pk is the probability of frequency equal to k, well, we were interested in those distributions for which pk divided by pk minus 1 is a constant a plus b divided by k. Well, in reality, Poisson distribution, binomial and negative binomial, have this property. And the first for this first step, we are going to focus on these distributions. So Poisson binomial and negative binomial, which is, as you know, the negative binomial is a Poisson with lambda gamma distributed. Right? So it's a mixture of Poisson distributions following a gamma in some sense. Well, at this moment we have severity, we have frequency, we have modelized separately both random variables. We need to produce the distribution of the loss distribution of the cell. So what is happening, what we have a random sum of random variables. The loss distribution, this is the severity, and we have a number n of losses, which is also a random variable. Well, how to compute this? We have, in reality, we don't need to compute exactly S. What we need to compute is a percentile of S. Following Basel II, we need to compute the percentile 99.9 for each cell. So the way for computing it is to discretize the severity function, and then to use this formula, which is the recursive formula of Panzer. If you look at R plus and you construct a mesh, a grid in R plus, if you want to know the value of the PDF of S at the point X, well, you can have a formula which is which explains the value of the PDF of S at the point X as a function of the value of the PDF of S at the point X smaller than the one you are looking to. And the values of the PDF of the frequency distribution. You think? So I shall wait in order to go to the following slide, because I want you to see the formula. But if you think about the sum I wrote, the random sum of random variables, in reality, suppose you have a log normal and Poisson. Poisson for the frequency, log normal for the severity. If you want, you can produce the Monte Carlo simulation also. Simply, you take a random number following the Poisson distribution, for example, 99. Then you produce 99 log normal distributions. You take the sum, and you have produced one sample of the random sum of random variables. So we have the Panzer formula, but we have also the possibility of Monte Carlo simulation in order to produce the aggregated function, probability distribution function of S, of the sum of the losses of each of the cells. So basically it seems simple. I can compute the percentile I need. Well, And at this moment I shall wait 2 minutes for I just spoke about high frequency, high impact events, you know. So I am in trouble, as I said 5 minutes ago. I think maybe it's better to. I think now it's. I said high frequency, high impact event. You can close the business. Thank you. So, you see, we have the value of x dependent from the value for I minus x. This is the PDF of severity function, and this is the value of the PDF of s at the values smaller than the one we are looking for here. Well, so it's very easy to compute. So, and the other possibility is Monte Carlo simulation. Okay, you produce a Monte Carlo simulation, and you are interested in the capital at risk or VAR at 99.9%. So you can compute. Well, of course, the world is not so simple as this. No? As I said, we need to compute the percentile 99.9, and to take the sum of all these quantities, no? And well, Basel II says you need at least 3 years of data, but in reality it's not a regulatory requirement. If you want to have reliable estimation of the percentile 99.9, you need a lot of data for fitting distributions, yes? A lot of data. In addition, if your severity distribution, say the log normal, has a big sigma means 2, 2.5, 3, no. If you want to get an error less than 1% in the 99.9 percentile, you need around 200 million simulations. Well, if you want to make an idea, if you have a Pentium 4 at 3 gigabytes, the production of random numbers, only the production of random numbers, is around 24 hours. So you need a lot of time. And even if you try to compute with the Pander formula, you are out of memory, because you need to go to produce such a big quantity of numbers in order to reach the 99.9 percentile, that you have big computational problem. So you have big computation challenges, if you want, and in addition, last but not least, as the VAR is not a subadditive risk measure, you may have a big problem, because it's possible that the value at risk, the operational VAR of your institution, the sum of, if you compute the sum of all the cells and take the sum as an estimation of the VAR, you may underestimate the VAR. Okay? So we have many problems which need solutions. No? Well, about the loss events. No? The number of loss events well, Luis told me that medium is not correct. I must say a large bank is huge. You have more than 100,000 events each year. No? Well, fortunately, the biggest part are very small events. No? Around 50% are smaller than 6 euro. No? But nevertheless, the losses greater than 10,000 euros represent 50% of gross losses, but less than 1% of the number of losses. No? And, So, operational loss appear to follow heavy-tailed distributions. The data points span many orders of magnitudes. The largest loss is usually at 30 standard deviations away from the mean. Well, because of that, many authors suggest to use extreme value theory distributions in order to fit that real data. So let's see the use of Pareto distribution. Well, in the argument for using Pareto distribution is that the unexpected losses are explained by a very small quantity of events, of big loss events. So it seems natural to focus on those events and forget the big amount of other insignificant but hard to work events of our loss data base. So we can choose a high threshold. Basel II spoke about 10,000 euros, no? And study only peaks over threshold. The loss is bigger than the threshold. No? Well, it appears to be a good idea, because you have a very powerful mathematical evidence that peaks over thresholds must be Pareto distributed and must follow a Poisson distribution. So it's a very good idea, because you get a pair Pareto-Poisson, well-known and easy to work for modeling operational risk. And we solve two problems in addition: the lack of data. I need only to look at the very big losses, and the problem of the subadditivity, at least partially, because the problem of the non-subadditivity of VAR is more important with Pareto distribution than, for example, with log normal distributions. So it seems to be an ideal framework for working. Well, unfortunately, when fitting Pareto to real data, we used to get very big values of xi. Remember, xi was a parameter which was the power in the exponential, and it determines the tail behavior. No? For example, for xi greater than one half, you have not second moment in the severity, and for C bigger than 1, you have not even first moment. But when you try to fit real data to Pareto distributions to real data, it's usual to get a C very big, even greater than 1 and 1.5. No? Well, we have produced with C equal 0.6 the fluctuations of economical capital. Well, our assumption was that we have quarterly reporting, that we have 30 events in mean each quarter. It's a pessimistic estimation from the bank point of view. My experience is that in general you have less than this quantity, but it's an optimistic estimation from a statistical point of view because you have more data to fit the distribution. Well, even with these hypotheses, this is the relative variations of capital you get. So if you try to explain your staff that the economic capital, after 5 years, has these kind of fluctuations, and don't focus on the form exactly of the distribution of my curve, but on the fluctuations. If you produced your own data, you may have a different form, but you always have a big fluctuations in the capital you compute using Pareto. Well, we even found C greater than 1 trying to fit Pareto distributions to real data. And in this case, this is the kind of situation for economic capital. Well, you see, we have big fluctuations. Even after 5 years, well, don't think it's small fluctuations. We are going from 0 to 50%, 100%. So there are important fluctuations. But look at this, you have even more important fluctuations. So the use of Pareto distributions leads to very, very unstable capital estimation quarter after quarter, year after year, because it's very sensible to outliers and it produced such kind of situations. Well, you can see the work of Alberto Ferreras, which is my PhD student, and he's working at BBVA on operational risk. You have the link to a talk he gave in Madrid in October at the Risk Lab meeting. And he's working with the data of BBVA. So I'm not speaking about theoretical or academical situation. I'm speaking about real data at this moment. Well, what about thresholds? Well, it's possible to work with a high threshold, but not with Pareto distributions. It's possible to use a high threshold in order to have less events, but not using Pareto distribution. Well, it's not a good idea. Well, if you look here, we tried with a big variety of sigma for a log normal model, and we also tried a big variety of thresholds, but I take only two examples of 6 and 10,000. And well, look simply at the variation you have taking the threshold for each of the sigmas with no taking any threshold, with a complete, the use of the complete set of data. Well, we have a big fluctuations in every case. I'm going to explain this one. And in this case, I say no convergence. In reality, if you try to fit, you get a Pareto distribution, and you get a C so big that the economic capital we get was greater than Spanish GDP. Excuse me. I said my English was not so good. GDP. So try to explain the staff that you need a economic capital which is greater than the GDP of your country. Well, it's amazing. Well, and Why do you have this kind of situation? Because in spite of the fact that all the data were produced by a log normal distribution using MATLAB, which has a very good random number generator, when you try to fit the data over the threshold, the best fitting is not always the log normal. Well, in this case, it was Pareto, Weibull, well, Pareto, log normal generalized extent value, and so on. So even when we are using good data produced by a good random number generator, when you look over big thresholds and you try to fit the data, you get very strange results. What to say about real data? You don't know the real distribution, and probably the real distribution is very complicated. Why these kind of things are possible? Well, they are possible because you can have exactly this kind of situation. I'm not sure you can see very well, but let's suppose this is the real distribution. So if you try to fit to the whole distribution, you get the yellow line. Oops. The yellow line, which is this one. Okay. But if you take this threshold, then you lost the information that the PDF is at this form, and your best fit is this one. It's a Pareto instead of the log normal distribution. And you can have a more complicated situation, not exactly this one. It's an exaggeration, but I wanted to give an example which is not real, but extreme situation. But look at this. It's a mixture of distributions, okay, of two log normal. But if you have the threshold here, you can think you have only a log normal distribution, this one. But if the threshold is here, you may see a Pareto distribution. So it's exactly what is happening when you try to fit data with a big threshold. Well, so we can give some provisional conclusions. First, no single distribution fits well over the entire data set. Data show a melange of different classes of data. For example, mostly small losses mixed with a few large losses. Particularly, looking at the tail, well, log normal tends to underfit while Pareto tends to overfit. You can look at Brown and Wang slides at the meeting of Federal Reserve of Boston in May, I think it was. No? Well, high thresholds leads to estimations which may have no sense from economical point of view. We need to produce a number which must have an economical sense. It's the capital, regulatory or economical capital, for your bank. No? If you have a Pareto distribution and the number you get is the Spanish GDP, well, it may be a statistical perfect, but it makes no sense from an economical point of view. We need to produce numbers that make sense from economical point of view. So the tool for such situation are the mixtures of distributions. And of course, when deciding which model to use, questions such as the sensitivity of the model to a new extreme event must be taken into account. Well, I want to say something about frequency distributions. Well, in reality, the choice of the frequency distribution has less impact on the final result than the one for severity. Well, if you look at the bank, well, it seems reasonable to think that the events are Poisson distributed. Well, but what is the date of the event? The date when it occurs, well, it seems reasonable to think it will be Poisson. But if you take into account accounting date, well, it seems also reasonable to think that you are introducing a false seasonality in the data. Okay, for example, in Spain, the year finished in December. Well, in December you have a lot of events. In August, almost everybody is in the sea, or so you have almost no data in the accounting database, because they are recorded at another moment. So using accounting data produced a false seasonality. No? Well, that means that if you try to fit the same data with real moment or accounting moments, we shall have Poisson in one case, negative binomial in the other one. But if you compute the economic capital with one of the other distribution, you get more or less the same thing. So it doesn't have a big impact. Yes? But it may have a big impact, the false seasonality may have a big impact creating false correlations. So you may be careful, you may be aware of this fact if you try to modelize correlations. Well, the second question you must know is that the parameters of the frequency distribution must be scaled in order to take into account bias reporting. Well, if you are looking the data with a threshold of 10,000 euro, well, for you 10,000 euro is here, you have a lot of probability here. You have a lot of data you are not looking. So you must rescale the frequency of your data in order to take into account the threshold. No? Concretely, if lambda for a Poisson distribution is the mean of the sample you are looking for, the true lambda will be lambda divided by the probability of x greater than h, where h is the threshold. Okay? So the bigger is the threshold, the smaller is the number probability of x greater than h, and the greater is the rescaling of the lambda of the frequency you must use in the Poisson distribution. So this makes evident the double leverage through the threshold election. You know, you have a double leverage, because when you take the threshold election, you tend to use Pareto distribution then to increase the value of the percentile, and in addition you may be increasing artificially the lambda, the number of events you have to take in account in your database. Okay? So it was my second remark. The third one is you must be aware of the risk of introducing false seasonality, I said, well, just some minutes ago. When you look real data, the class AB0, that means Poisson binomial and negative binomial, is not enough for the fitting of real data. So we need more frequency distributions than the distribution which belong to this class. And then the Poisson algorithm must be substituted by another kind of methods, for example, fast Fourier transform, in order to compute the percentile. Well, I said you before that when you try to compute high percentiles, you have a lot of computation to do. That means we need to use advanced reduction variance techniques. That means if you want to compute really in reasonable time this kind of quantities, you need also something like grid systems if you want to avoid using very big computers. You need fast Fourier transform. So in order to compute economic capital in reality, we need a big amount of applied math. And the last aspect is the dependence structures. No? The model proposed by Basel II has some deficiency. For one side, it is based on comonotonicity. That means you compute the percentile for the 99.9 percentile for each cell, and they take the sum of all of them. It's exactly the same thing you are doing in credit risk, where the credit risk models are unifactors models, you know, in Basel. They are unifactors. They suppose that if something is going bad in one case, it's going bad in all the cases. No? When you use the sum of the percentile 99 for each of the cells, you are supposing that if you are in the percentile, in the extreme situation in one of them, you are also in all of them. It's like supposing correlation is one, if you want, in a Gaussian model. No? In many cases, it may seem very conservative, but as I said you before, the VAR is not sub additive, and this way of doing things may be, in reality, not conservative, but it may underestimate the VAR, the operational risk VAR. So if you want to solve these problems, in reality you need to modelize the joint distribution of the 56 cells. So that means you need a lot of data for fitting marginal distributions, each of the cells, but you need also this big amount of data for the fitting of, for example, copula distributions, which allow you to describe the dependence structures between the different cells. No? So, copula like Teden copula or Frank copula, okay, may be good candidates for this kind of models. But the basic idea is that you need to modelize the joint distribution, and that means to have a lot of data for that. Well, my conclusions, I think more or less 45 minutes taking into account the projector. Well, operational risk is the new frontier in risk management. You must produce a number that makes sense from an economical point of view. As it occurs when modeling, for example, correlations, it is a bad idea to reject part of your information when modeling marginals. What I mean is, please don't use high thresholds. Use all the information you have about the behavior of the severity of your losses. Consequently, an ideal target is the data collection without any threshold, looking in particular at correlations. Thank you very much. Basically, maximum likelihood, the maximum likelihood we use, yes. No, well, it depends on the number of data you have, of course. If you have a very high threshold, for example, the case I said at the beginning, where if you have around 30 data each quarter, of course, at the beginning, the estimations are very unstable. But when you get more data, the maximum likelihood has no stability problems with the sample you have. But each time you put new data, you have big fluctuations, which it's another form of instability.